Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 for a change. Yeah, he was. I lived with them for quite a while.
Yeah.
When I was homeless.
Yeah. I forgot that you lived there.
No, he was one of my closest friends.
Yeah. Just an incredible, great teacher.
He was on our board of directors for about three or four years. And he was the dean of students at Christ for the Nations during the early year, when during 70, I met him when I interviewed him on, when we had the television station in 1972, and then he was on the radio program, and then he started inviting me to speak at Christ for the Nations whenever Freda Lindsay wasn't there. But then he got involved so much in so much traveling that when he left as dean of students, that he left the board.
When did he die?
In the last couple weeks. There's a... You read it later. All right. We've been studying that because we are partakers of the divine nature, that God has supplied to the chorus, or to the body, these incredible things, all things that are necessary for life and godliness. And so by exercising faith, and then these really the personality traits of Christ, or the fruit of the Spirit, come forth. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. We spent a lot of time on that. And then in verse 8 it says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge or the epignosis of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, all things that are necessary for you to reflect the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit in abundance have been given to you. So you are without excuse if you hold on to any of the old systems or the old ways of being. But he that lacketh, or isn't reflecting these things, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He was purged, he was emptied from the kingdom of darkness. He left the kingdom of darkness. He's entered the kingdom of light. You've got to hear this, and you've got to understand it. Paul said, we look at not the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are carnal, but the things that are not seen are spiritual. So you can no longer make any judgments based on what... I mean, obviously, if it's seen, then it affects all of your senses. You cannot make any judgments about your life based on sensory perception. You can if you want to, but you're going to stay locked into the kingdom of darkness. And it's just plain stupid. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, give zeal to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now the word entrance is an incredible word. It's eisodos. And it means a road. When Jesus said in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life, the word way there is the road. I am the path, the way, the road. He's not just... So here it says, you've made, and for so an entrance, an eisodos, a sure pathway, a sure... More than sure. It's not even... Remember where it said you are blind? You are blind because you follow your senses. And you are blind because you look at everything to see how it affects you. And because of that, you can't see the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem that descended 2,000 years ago out of heaven. And so you still look and watch and you judge yourself and you judge others and you judge your actions based on trying to think things are going to change or there's going to be some change, outward manifestation of the kingdom of God. Here it says if you are still not reflecting the fruit of the Spirit, you're blind. Paul said, he exhorted you. It's the only time that you were ever exhorted to examine yourself. He said, examine yourself in 2 Corinthians 13. He said, examine yourself. Prove that you're in the faith. Prove to your own self that you're in the faith. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Now, this sounds so basic, it sounds unnecessary even to talk about. But Jesus Christ is in you because you've recognized you've been born again. Now, if you haven't been born again, you're wasting your time. But you've been born again so that you've quickened by the recognition of the seed of God within you. You've quickened it by the recognition of your own futility and emptiness. You've quickened it by the desire to know the fullness of the knowledge that your way has not gone, has just been a total disaster. And you've been born again because you spiritually have entered into this seed, the egg of the New Jerusalem. Now, if you haven't been born again, then we better have a chat. But if you have been born again, and you still do not know that the fullness of Christ is in you, then you can never repent. All you can do is say you're sorry. All you can do is you can only repent after the world's understanding of repentance. You can only say, oh, I'm sorry I did that. I'm going to change. I'm going to do better the next time. I'm not going to do that. You make all the little vows. I'm not going to do that anymore. You can never truly repent according to God. You cannot leave yourself behind because you're consumed with you. You don't know the way. You don't know the truth. And you don't know the life. The knowledge has not been of Him, has not been mixed in you. The Word in you has not been made flesh. It is still a faraway idea. And so whenever you do something wrong, whenever you do something, all you can do is, especially if you get caught doing something, all you can do is say, I'm sorry. But then... because of the nature of the beast, you're just going to do it over and over and over again anyway. We have been born again, born from above. The word born again means born from above, but it also means, it has a strange word. It means existent from the first estate. It means that your true existence has existed from before the foundation of the world. It means that your true being is for me to live as Jesus Christ, for me to die as gain. Whatsoever things are a gain to me are lost to Him. Whatever, no matter whether it's Bible knowledge, no matter what it is, whatsoever things are a gain to me are lost to Jesus Christ. And so you just continue on doing the same things over and over. You're just masquerading because you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you. Therefore, you can never repent. You can never leave yourself behind, because the moment you repent, up jumps the evil one again. Does everybody understand this? This is the basic first principles of Christianity. There's nothing about Christianity to make you better, to fix you. I've said it before and I'll say it till hell freezes over. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ is not good news to you. It's good news to God. Some of the worst arguments that I have ever gotten into in my life was with John Garlock when I was living with him. Because he couldn't quite get his arms around or his head around that God doesn't love the human race. The love of God is seated, is centered in Jesus Christ. He loves it, the human race, from a conceptual standpoint, because He gave everybody a chance, in that the seed of His Son was permeated into every being. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So from that standpoint, He loves. But He doesn't love with regard to being caring what happens to the human race, other than that they come to the end of themselves so they can be born again. And we used to have these discussions that just went on forever. And then he finally convinced, the way he got around it, he says, well, I know, my role is to be over here, and he wrote this chart up, and it's got, it was just a line across the white page, and above the line were the heathens, or the below the line, the people that didn't know Christ. And his job was to get those people across the line. And so my job was way over here, so that my job was to get people into a deeper understanding of God. And what I kept telling him was, if your job is over here telling these people that God loves them, then you'll never get them into a deeper understanding. God loves the real you. And I'd use all the arguments, you know, that I used to do on the radio show when I had one of these four spiritual law guys. Well, if God loves, does God love the world? Yes. Because God loves the human race? Yes. And how come there's 65 million babies a day dying? Does He love you more than He loves that baby that's dying in Africa? He must love America. That means America is chosen. I mean, you can go on and on and on, an endless, it's just ridiculous. Well, then you have to come, no, the reason those babies are dying and the reason those people are crippled and the reason is because Satan is coming against the plan of God. Well, of course he is. That's his job. That's the job. Satan gave the job to come against the plan of God so that the true plan of God would be tested, because Satan has no interest in Christ because he has nothing in him. He's been defeated. But there has been an entrance, an abundant entrance, that's been made available, an isodos, a way, a road, a path, for anyone that desires to enter in. If you don't desire, if you just want to stand outside thinking that you're going to follow this guy for a while because your life before was screwed up, then you'll hang around for a while and then you'll either be born again or you'll leave. But stop being blind. Stop walking as a brute beast, walking after your senses, wanting what you want when you want it at the expense of everything and everyone else. If you know that you've been born again, if you've examined yourself, if you've proven that you're in the faith, then you will know that repentance means to leave you behind. And you'll begin to understand what faith is. And you'll add to your faith virtue, divine energy. You'll add to virtue by exercising it, knowledge. You'll add to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, you'll add patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And then finally, agape, self, totally self-giving love. And you will be fulfilled only as others are fulfilled. And what happens to you becomes totally meaningless as long as you meet their need. That's not for somebody that somebody calls a saint. That's for everyone that names the name of Christ. Because to continue to be consumed with self just makes you retarded. I don't care how wonderful your little ideas are, or how unwonderful, how common, how ordinary, how pagan. They're just flesh. Now, this is the last letter, the last thing that Peter said before he died. Peter, the greatest apostle, and by some, at least equal to Paul. Peter, to whom he was the first one that recognized that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Christ, the one who met every heart's desire. That's what Christ meant in the ancient world. Verse 12, he says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in this present truth," this truth that I've been discussing. "Yes, I think it necessary, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, this vessel, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease," he literally used the word exodus, "after my exodus, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, we made known unto you the power and the presence, the personal coming is personal presence. It means that for you, Christ has come. It means for you, Christ is come. Not will come or did come, but is come. Parousia, coming. The power and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were I witnesses of His majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Here we have the penultimate occurrence in time and space had happened. Jesus and James and John. Who else was there? Peter, James, and John. They went up to the mountain on the Feast of Tabernacles. And Christ was transfigured before their eyes. And the two witnesses from Revelation, Elijah and Moses, representing the law and the prophets, stood before him. They didn't talk about the excellent glory. They didn't talk about the marvelous things that Moses and Elijah had seen in glory. They talked only about his death. What a concept. This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. But now he says to you, he says, we have also a more sure word. We have something that's even greater than what they saw. More certain. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. Because we have the fullness of him who they were watching within us. Well, then how come all these things happen to me? And how come? It's because he is, because of his humility. He cannot and will not occupy the spaces in his temple where you choose to occupy. That's why I hate with a purple passion ideas. And I hate your whining. And I hate your despicable concerns for yourself. Because they reflect your incredible, unending greed and contrasted with his unimaginable humility. If you can finally stop making you the subject of your sentence, then he will fill the temple. Because we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have himself in us. That you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Remember that crossfire spot. What will it be? What can make you arise from your spiritual death? Shall the love songs from the earth herself awaken my love, my fair one? Shall a cup of cold water remind you of your fall from my presence? Will the smell of a flower turn your head to my love waiting to be received? Will the icy hand of winter pull you toward my warmth and understanding? Will the falling leaves remind you of your fall from my presence? What shall it be? For I shall try all things to reach you. I will cry at your heart with tears of my rain. Standing as the only light within your cavern of death. Waiting, waiting, waiting for the breaking of your pride that you may be set free and live. There's nothing else that's happening if you don't know this. Everything in the universe and everything in your life is an absolute cosmic joke if you don't know this. So take heed as to the light shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. And stop the insanity of being concerned with yourself. That's enough. What? Anybody have any response? Do we have a voice from England? So nothing I said touched you. How did it touch you? The only reason it touched you is so you could share it with somebody else instead of self-consuming it. How about you with your smart grin?
Well, the thing that I'm kind of thinking about is take heed unto, as unto a light shining in a dark place. In other words, you're in a dark place. You're in a pit. Wake up.
Kevin?
Well, just the contrast between the dark place and community.
The born again thing really lit me up. Born again doesn't really do it for me. Those words never have quite expressed what it means. But when you were talking about this morning, the reality of having been reconnected to what you were in the beginning, and that established, that synapse taking place, and then all spiritual things are open to you, that means something to me. Being born again, just kind of like God, Jesus, talking to us.
But the only way you can get born again is if you die.
And once that's seen, death is desirable because of the option.
Remember the first thing I said, I never read the Bible, except when I was in catechism class and they kicked me out when I was six. The first words after I was baptized were, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." And the preacher turned white when I said that. Yeah. As he said, "You don't have any idea what you just said." And I didn't. Wade, nothing touched you?
I'm making notes.
What did you say in your notes for the benefit of those who didn't hear the first time?
I must have just put the references, but then I used the tag "Stop the Insanity."
I was thinking about the insanity, self-seeking, being consumed. You think about people who are insane; they're consumed with what they see, or they're consumed about some little thing, or we're all insane if we continue thinking about this body of death,
sin and death.
Such a large pool to draw from in your insanity. It's just like it. Can go in directions on and on and on.
Another respect, it's from this little tiny.
Yeah, very small pool.
I mean, it's only this big.
Yeah, it's very small, but this thing thinks it's got plenty of work.
The spirit, it opens up the universe.
I was thinking about Isaiah. When the place was filled with smoke and the doorpost shook, it made me think, if you're in a house that suddenly fills with smoke and the doorpost begins to shake, you're in big trouble.
He was born in a cave that held animals because there was no room for him where the people were. And it's always true. When his spirit filled the temple, there's no room for the people. The priests fled. When His Spirit fills you as the temple of God, all the voices have to shut up. And they will shut up. The voices shut up when you stop giving them any importance. That's why you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought you have staffed to stand against it is perfect. It is finished. Otherwise, the temple won't be filled with Him and His Spirit. It'll be filled with you and your concerns and your wants and your little desires. And your little... Can you see why the theology that's going on on Christian television today is so incredibly evil? Because it does nothing but enhance you. Okay, now forget about it. Because He's touched your lips with the coal from off of the altar where the blood is on the coal. And now, let there be prophesying.
I keep thinking about zeal and leaving myself behind entirely.
Stop thinking about it and just do it. I don't want you to think about that crap anymore. Just do it. Be it. Truth isn't knowing truth. Truth is being truth.
The impact it had on me was that, you know, I just seemed I need to repent.
That's all it ever it is. But repent isn't sorrowful. Can you see its grand simplicity? It's nothing complicated. Bojo?
It is very simple.
Can you have time to meet with those two? Mm-hmm. But not me? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, take it, big guy. I got to go back to bed. I'm sorry.